This program is brought to you by the combined resources of the Wisconsin Historical Society and PBS Wisconsin.
Lighthouses occupy that sort of wistful part of our imagination.
There's a mystique about them. There's an aura about them.
A magical place.
Soaring towers, rugged landscapes. Wisconsin lighthouses stand watch over Lake Michigan and Lake Superior.
The Great Lakes are inland seas. They are massive.
Monumental beacons, shining light on a bygone era. From the first people to venture the lakes, to the dedicated keepers willing to risk their all.
The aspect of danger, the aspect of sacrifice. People depended on them day in and day out.
Icons of Wisconsin's rich maritime past.
Lighthouses are inseparable from the history of the state.
Without lighthouses, Wisconsin doesn't happen.
Marvelous construction, breathtaking views.
They're really something to behold.
There's nothing else like them.
Wisconsin lighthouses.
Funding for Wisconsin lighthouses is provided by the David L. and Rita E. Nelson Family Fund, Dr. Henry Anderson and Shirley Levine, the Ruth St. John and John Dunham West Foundation, Jan Botts and Tom Lippert, the Dwight and Linda Davis Foundation, ACV and Mary Elston Family, Slater Family Fund, Barb and Mike Madden, Obradovich Family Foundation, the Great Lakes Foundation, Ruder Ware, the Fund for Lake Michigan, Trust Point, Wisconsin Coastal Management Program and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, donors to the Focus Fund for Wisconsin Programs, and Friends of PBS Wisconsin.
The crashing waters of Lake Michigan surround a small forested island with steep dolomite cliffs. Deep within the rustic landscape lives a pioneer of Wisconsin's maritime history.
You're walking through the woods on the trail. You come right over that last crest, and you see this picture-perfect lighthouse standing there. It's pretty amazing to see.
The Pottawatomie Lighthouse, located at the tip of the Door County Peninsula on Rock Island. Built in 1836 and then replaced 20 years later with the existing structure seen today, a 41-foot tower with attached keeper's quarters.
As it stands today, the house is set up around 1910, so you can kind of picture the lighthouse keepers at that point living there. As you're walking through the house, you get to see the kitchen, the parlor, the bedrooms. You kind of feel like you're at home, which is kind of fun. And then the best part is going up to the lantern room.
A view of the water reaching beyond the horizon. A summer day, white caps flashing on the surface. An idyllic location, home to Pottawatomie Lighthouse, chosen not for its grand view, but for its utter necessity.
It was a matter of life and death.
Well, it'd be a big mistake to underestimate the Great Lakes.
These are just as treacherous as the oceans.
Violent storms blow up, and you know, if you don't run for your life, you're going to be in trouble.
Surging waters and rocky formations make the Great Lakes a perilous force of nature.
Unless you've been there or you've lived there, you don't really understand the power that these lakes have.
It's estimated that there are well over 6,000 shipwrecks in the Great Lakes.
The Great Lakes are really a nautical graveyard compared to any place else in the world.
A tiny, secluded island in that nautical graveyard would become pivotal to the story of Wisconsin and home to the state's very first lighthouse, Pottawatomie.
In the early 1800s, before Wisconsin was even a state, the stone that was coming out of the quarries here, the lumber that was coming out of the forest, all of that needed to go other places on the Great Lakes for the construction of cities. The schooners moving the stone and timber around the Great Lakes would have to go through Death's Door.
Death's Door Passage is a narrow channel of shallow waters and strong currents between the mainland peninsula of Door County and Washington Island. A notorious waterway that lived up to its ominous name.
The shipping industry was losing too many ships and it was costing them money. So it was critical to get a lighthouse built in this particular location.
In 1834, the mariners had requested and petitioned the federal government to build the Pottawatomie Lighthouse on Rock Island that would mark the safe passage. That safe passage became known as Rock Island Passage.
Situated just northeast of Washington Island, the deep waters off Rock Island held the potential for a safe route around Death's Door. However, in the early 1800s, this region was still considered America's frontier. Building Pottawatomie Lighthouse would be a venture into the unknown.
This was a time when there was absolutely no charts of Lake Michigan.
Captains had to navigate without the lighthouses, and they're carrying the materials to these remote places to build lighthouses. It was absolutely no easy task.
The stones were quarried from the island itself. They would haul them up to the site. They used wood from the island, and just with manpower, they put that lighthouse together.
That human spirit of just pushing forward and knocking down the darkness and moving ahead.
Inaugurated in 1836, Pottawatomie Lighthouse was a trailblazer. The very first lighthouse on all of Lake Michigan, remaining in operation until 1988.
The Pottawatomie name comes from the Native Americans that were living in the area. Pottawatomie means keepers of the fire. The mariners would connect with that light as they were going through the passage and relying on that to be there every night.
Waiting just on the horizon was a golden era of Wisconsin's maritime history.
Pottawatomie Lighthouse lit a way to growth and development. It would provide that beacon into the future for the entire state of Wisconsin.
Lighthouses had opened up the state for settlement, and people began to bring their families west. You had to come by boat. There was no other way.
Schooners were literally the covered wagons of the Great Lakes frontier.
The Great Lakes were the superhighways of the past, forming one of the highest concentrations of lighthouses anywhere in the world.
But in the 1800s, the volume of vessel traffic on the Great Lakes was easily 20, 30 times what it is today.
Most Wisconsin lighthouses began service between 1850 and 1900. From Lake Michigan's Southport Lighthouse in bustling Kenosha to Wisconsin's northernmost point, Devil's Island Lighthouse on Lake Superior. These beacons lit the way for mariners for nearly 150 years, burning brightly due to a technological leap in the 19th century.
Fresnel lenses revolutionized lighthouses throughout the world, engineering marvels.
It's a series of polished glass prisms that bend and refract the light in and then out onto the body of water.
The Fresnel lens projected further and brighter than ever before. The powerful beam was instrumental in the creation of an integrated network of lighthouses along Lake Michigan, linking them like a chain.
All lighthouses on Lake Michigan are all within sight of each other. Each beam crosses over, so you never lose sight of a lighthouse as you're coming down the lake.
Tasked with keeping this innovation working smoothly was the lighthouse keeper, an employee of the United States Lighthouse Service.
Early lighthouse keepers were called wickies.
They trimmed a wick in the lantern to keep the flame the right height so that it would burn evenly and brightly.
The wick and lantern were fueled by oil, which the keeper repeatedly carried to the top of the tower in buckets. A counterweight mechanism would then rotate the Fresnel lens around the burning wick.
It was a giant cuckoo clock mechanism that would have to be wound every 3 to 4 hours, so you would never get a full night's sleep.
You were busy all day long. You just weren't working at night. The lens had to be spotless to the touch of a glove. They would have to record the weather. They'd have to record ship passings and then do any kind of maintenance on the house or the grounds.
The lighthouse keepers had an ingrained sense of service because that's what it was. It was the lighthouse service. They were in service to the federal government and to keep the mariners safe.
The keeper and the mariner shared a sacred trust. The light would remain steadfast in its duty. Beacons of hope in a raging storm. And treasured works of art decorating the shoreline.
The leading American historian of lighthouses in the 20th century, F. Ross Holland, wrote, "Nation's largest and finest collection of historic lighthouses is contained within the boundaries of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore." Absolutely.
Off Wisconsin's North Shore in Lake Superior lies a group of islands adorned with otherworldly beauty, the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. 21 islands, 8 lighthouses, surrounded by deep forests and natural wonders.
The Apostle Islands, they are remote. You are definitely away from the hubbub of everyday life.
They're not little port town lighthouses, right? They tend to have to be tall, they have to be, you know, pretty conspicuous because they have to be seen from a distance.
Punctuating the horizon, the Apostle Islands lighthouses historically guided large vessels along the shipping lanes of Lake Superior. Today, they keep watch over a public treasure.
The best place to view the islands from is the top of a lighthouse tower. Places like Devil's Island and Raspberry Island and the north end of Outer Island. Those give us a look at what perhaps northern Wisconsin looked like 300 years ago. A pristine area. On some place like Raspberry Island, you can easily be the only person that's on that island, surrounded by acres of wilderness.
In the late 1800s, a keeper named Francis Yocker lived alone at Raspberry Island Lighthouse.
He liked it. I mean, it gave him plenty of time to pursue his artistic interests. He was a talented artist. He was a composer.
Yocker, a German immigrant, married an Ojibwe woman named Ikwesens, who later went by Catherine. A committed partner, Catherine stayed back on the mainland with their sons, while Yocker lived on Raspberry Island to tend the light.
He also wrote articles on Ojibwe folklore that were published in anthropological journals over in Germany. He was absolutely a Renaissance man. But the one thing he wasn't very good at was operating a boat.
In September of 1887, a storm blew up and he had left the boat tied up to the dock. He hadn't put it away in the boathouse. So he jumped out of bed, runs down to the dock, and he jumps into the boat with the intention of sailing it to the boathouse. The problem is that he got pushed a little bit too far offshore.
He loses control of the boat, and next thing you know, he's washed up on the beach at Oak Island.
The wind wrapped around and it swamped the boat on the beach and filled it up with sand. It was unusable.
Marooned on nearby Oak Island, Yawker was surrounded by an uninhabited, densely wooded no man's land.
So he's out there all by himself, wet and cold in his jammies.
He had no shoes, he had no shirt, he had no food. He was in a pickle.
The storm raged for 3 days.
Meanwhile, his wife and one of his sons made an unexpected visit to Raspberry Island to see their father. It's a real fluke because she only did this like once or twice a year. And they get there and there's nobody there.
With a darkened tower looming over her, Catherine had no time to contemplate her husband's disappearance. She knew she had to act fast.
She took charge. She went up the tower stairs and figured out how to light the lamp. Even there in the dire distress of thinking her husband is lost somewhere on the lake, her first thought is really, we need to get the light going again for the safety of the mariners.
By day three, Francis is figuring out that if he was going to be seen, he needed to get to a different part of the island.
Yawker bound up his feet, bushwhacked across the island, and tied what was left of the sail high in a tree. Desperate, alone, Yawker's last bit of hope was fluttering in the storm. But in that dark tempest night, hope prevailed. Yawker's signal was spotted. Taken back to Raspberry Island, the warm glow of the lighthouse welcomed the ragged Yawker home. Waiting for him with open arms, the ever-vigilant Catherine.
Must have been a magical moment, a really lucky break. The lighthouse keepers were out there in order to prevent accidents. Catherine, she understood the importance of the light, and she did what she could in order to, you know, to make it right.
I think that shows the level of dedication that was fostered in the culture. The keepers and their families, the wife came in, stepped in and says, that's my responsibility, even right there with the prospect of suddenly widowhood. So it's a reason I admire these people.
Entrusted to protect a treasure, Wisconsin lighthouse keepers would soon build a legacy of stewardship, pride, and family.
Hi, I'm James Steinbach. I'm a volunteer here at PBS Wisconsin, taking a just quick break from this remarkable program. And, you know, lighthouses have a special place in our imagination, of course, and also in the history of the state. And this is something which I thought I knew a little bit about lighthouses, but watching this program and looking at the book that it was based on is really a great way to understand much more about not just the lighthouses, but the people who kept them, the families that lived there, the people who made this work, the people who were dedicated to saving lives. And that's what it's all about. And this program, here's an important thing. This program was made right here at PBS Wisconsin with a producer from the station, which is routine, of course, for us to do these great shows. But every time a new one comes up like this, which is about Wisconsin, I think this is only going to happen here at PBS Wisconsin. No place else is going to do this. And for that, it's worth my support, and I think yours too. Call us at 1-800-236-3636.
Well, thank you, James. I'm Kermin Eckes. I'm on the staff here at Wisconsin Public Television, and I am so excited to be part of bringing this Wisconsin Lighthouses to you this evening and to give you this opportunity to show your support for us here. And when you do, we have some wonderful, wonderful thank you gifts. Let me run through those briefly for you right now. If you can join us at the $15 a month donation level, you have your choice of three absolutely fantastic items. First of all, you can choose the copy of the show that we're watching right now, Wisconsin Lighthouses, so you can go back and see that wonderful footage again and hear those stories again that James was talking about the people that made lighthouses so real and so important for us here at the state of Wisconsin. Or you can choose the book that the show is based on. Again, that's Wisconsin Lighthouses by Ken and Barb Wardius. And fantastic book. I've been paging through it, and the photos are wonderful. There's so many different stories, so much more in-depth information that you can get. So that's a wonderful thing that you can choose. Or finally, the third thing is this great tote bag, and it's a nice large size tote bag. It's very heavyweight. It has the Kena Island Lighthouse in the daytime on one side, and then in the evening when it's lit up on the other side. So it's perfect for the beach or whatever you want to do. If you would like all three of these things, then call and become a member this evening at the $25 a month level, and we will send you the DVD, the book, and the tote bag. So we have many ways to say thank you to you for joining us, but now we need you to go to those phones and dial 1-800-236-3636.
Hi, I'm David Hofford, a volunteer here at PBS Wisconsin, and I want to pick up on something James just said about no one else besides PBS Wisconsin would make a show like this. I'm sure there are documentaries about lighthouses out there, right? But they're probably, I don't know, New England lighthouses. And yet, as this show talks about, the Great Lakes, really these inland seas, right, are such an important part of the history of this country and such an important part of the story of Wisconsin. And so what this program is really doing is capturing that history, that story, for us to remember and enjoy and appreciate for generations to come. And it's a lot of work, right? This program took years to make, between the research and the filming and the interviewing the experts and the editing. It's a big deal to get something like this over the finish line. And we're able to do that at PBS Wisconsin because we know that you have our back. And that's what happens when you call 1-800-236-3636.
One of the things that I really love about PBS Wisconsin is that we can take you places that you wouldn't be able to get to perhaps on your own, either because you have little children that can't get in there or because you're not able yourself. And the lighthouse on Rock Island is a great example of that, because you may not make that trek. You may not be able to do that. But you can go there with PBS Wisconsin, and you can go there with this terrific book, which is from Ken and Barb Wardius. And this book is the basis for the program that you're watching now. It's a beautiful book, beautifully researched, really in-depth research. You know, a friend of mine talks about TV shows as the executive summary of a book sometimes. And in a way, that's true. The show, wonderful as it is, doesn't go into anywhere near the detail this does, because it can't. But it can still bring you to a place, invite you to share it, and you can share it with your kids and with your family. So that's worth something. Call us now at 1-800-236-3636.
Hi, I'm Eric Grayling, director of Friends of PBS Wisconsin. Ken and Barb, thanks for coming into the PBS Wisconsin studios.
Thank you, Eric.
We've been enjoying your book, Wisconsin Lighthouses, a photographic and historical guide. So tell us, what inspired your interest in lighthouses?
Oh, my goodness. Over 40 years ago, we visited Kena Island Lighthouse in Door County, and we were hooked on the place, just a magical place. We wanted to learn more about the history and the people, especially, who tended the light. So it all started from a request from our friends, go visit Kena Island. And we did, and we've been back dozens and dozens of times since.
So it started with Kena Island. Do you know how many lighthouses you've visited?
Well, all of them in Wisconsin, all 48.
And how many times?
Some only once, okay. And good. Some, multiple times,
Yeah. And how did it become a shared project for both of you? Was it just something you arrived at together?
Yeah, it kind of was by accident. Barb and I, neither one of us are writers. We always had a camera when we traveled around the state, just mostly snapshot for family type photos. As we visited a lighthouse or two, we took some pictures. Some friends of ours said, hey, you got really nice pictures here. Why don't you write a book? We knew no better. Again, neither one of us are experts in that, but Barb and I have always been a team on a lot of things that we do, and it just went from there.
Well, that's great. Was it very difficult to research this book?
The research took a lot of time. We were still working at the time when we did all the research, so it would be after work at night doing that. And the internet isn't what it is now, which is fine. We had more luck and more accurate information from descendants, historical societies, libraries that would furnish us with information.
Great. Well, we're going to hear more from Barb and Ken throughout the program. And right now we're going to go back. And please make a call and show your support for Wisconsin Lighthouses. And we'd like to say thank you with the gift of Wisconsin Lighthouses.
Well, it was absolutely fabulous to hear that part of that interview with Ken and Barb Wardius, the authors of the book, Wisconsin Lighthouses. We'll be hearing more from them later on. But in the meantime, we have plenty of time for you right now to go to the phones, talk to one of our volunteers, and also take part in some of these wonderful thank you gifts that we can send you when you join us as a member of PBS Wisconsin. So if you join us at the $15 a month level, you have your choice of one of three items. You can pick up the DVD or Blu-ray of the show that we've been watching, Wisconsin Lighthouses, or you can take a copy of the book that everything is based on with all those great illustrations and extra stories, or for your third choice, you can take the wonderful tote bag that we have, the nice large size tote bag with illustrations of the Kena Island Lighthouse at night and during the daytime. So wonderful gifts at that level. You could also join us at the $25 a month level, and we will send you all three of those. So you'll get the book, the DVD, and the tote bag. But I want to spend a little time talking about a very special gift level that would be perfect for the youngster in your life. And that's if you join us at the $20 a month level. We will send you a copy of the book, Hello Lighthouse. This is by Sophie Blackall, and it is an absolutely gorgeous book. I've been having a chance to page through it. Wonderful, wonderful illustrations in this book. Perfect to fire the imagination of the youngster in your life. But to come with that, we also have this wonderful nightlight. And if you look at that nightlight, you can see it has this wonderful illustration of a lighthouse in the daytime. But then at night, the lights come on in the lighthouse, and I just love this. And then again, in the daytime, it'll go back to the daytime view. Wonderful for any youngster in your life. So again, that's at that $20 a month level. So we have many different things to encourage you to join us this evening, like the people that already have. If you're one of those, thank you so much. If you're not, if you haven't done that yet, please give us a call at 1-800-236-3636.
You know, I have to say, I have a youngster in my life. And Colonel was letting me page through the book earlier. I happen to be a sustaining member at the $20 a month level, so this seems like this could be kismet, right? But I'll deal with that after I'm done talking to you. You know, I think what matters most about a program like this and a pledge break like this is that you feel a sense of ownership of this kind of programming on PBS Wisconsin, and you want to support it, and you find a level that's right for you. Maybe it's one of the gift packages Colonel was just talking about. Maybe it's just making a donation to PBS Wisconsin. What matters is that you give us a call and show that support at 1-800-236-3636.
Intricate layers of sandstone, rough pine and birch trees blanket rocky bays, sea caves smoothed by centuries of rippling waters.
Sand Island is in the western edge of the Apostles, so it's way out there. If the weather conditions aren't right, you aren't landing, and if you need to get off the island, you're not getting off. The lake is the boss, definitely.
The lighthouse at Sand Island was there primarily to give warning to ships to stay off the Apostles.
Built in 1881, the Sand Island Lighthouse stands on a red jagged shoreline, walled in by a fortress of stone.
Sand Island Lighthouse was fashioned from the fabric of the island. It's a beautiful building which was built from the rock where it sits. And I can't think of a more intimate way, more profound way that a building can be connected to its environment.
Made of brownstone in the style of Norman Gothic architecture, Sand Island Lighthouse provided a picturesque setting for a keeper's quiet life of solitude.
The second keeper at Sand Island, I find an interesting fellow for a number of reasons. His name was Emmanuel Lewick. He came there for the 1892 season and then stayed 28 years until the lighthouse was automated in 1920.
Mr. Lewick enjoyed lighthouse keeping.
Loved it. He thrived in the lighthouse life. He spent his first couple of years out at Sand Island all by himself. Then in 1896, he married a young woman named Ella Gertrude Richardson. She was from Providence, Rhode Island.
Ella was 16 years old when she married the 29-year-old Emmanuel, joining him to live at Sand Island.
She was enraptured by his promises to live on a lighthouse, and I'm sure it sounded very romantic.
Being in a beautiful setting, in a lovely building, it's great, but solitude can be a double-edged sword.
Guess what? She was bored out of her skull.
All lighthouse keepers were required to keep a daily logbook, and it was supposed to be one line of what the weather was, ships that had passed, perhaps what they did that day, if there was painting or gardening going on.
Ella, on the other hand, used it basically as a personal diary. We have a very complete picture of the Lewicks' marriage falling apart.
In one entry, Ella wrote, "Mr. Lewick hasn't anything to do, and so he can help me do nothing."
But again, she was 16 years old. She just found lighthouse life very lonely.
After 10 years, Ella moved on. Heading back east, she became a nurse and later remarried, leaving behind Sand Island Lighthouse and Emmanuel Lewick.
Emmanuel is not Mr. Charm. It appears he was hard to get along with. He went through assistant keepers at a fairly rapid clip, and he didn't have a really good reputation. But on the other hand, he was an incredibly talented photographer. Several years ago, we discovered a treasure trove of photos that Lewick took. They'd been sitting in a barn, and this would be the first time anyone had eyes on those photos in decades.
Several hundred images. Some of the images are from the lighthouse on Sand Island and what it was like to be a lighthouse keeper.
Excellent shots of the lighthouse and the surroundings, which are quite artistic.
Lewick also explored nearby communities, capturing photos of neighborhoods, family farms, and fishermen repairing their nets. He meticulously documented life along Lake Superior.
He had a very good eye for catching a personality, and they are so sharp and vivid.
Lewick was able to evoke a sense of beauty and convey emotion in a single image, capturing vibrant lives, inhabiting a rich world from a bygone era.
They provided excellent detail about what daily life was like around the turn of the 20th century.
Through his photography, Emmanuel Lewick preserved a moment in time in a unique and personal way.
This man definitely was an artist. Life is not all black and white. There are shades of gray.
Shades of gray, in a world full of color, resided inside the Wisconsin Lighthouse.
What is a lighthouse? Well, on the one hand, it's the light, and it's all of the aspects that go into keeping the light lit. But it was also a home. People lived there.
Our Great Lakes lighthouses, most of them were really family homes. You can really see that as you walk through the lighthouse.
A bedroom adorned with childhood memories. Lighthouse issued chinaware, still waiting on the dinner table for the keeper and their kin. Family homes brimming with the presence of the past.
A lot of people think, oh, it was an easy life, but it was a difficult life. The families were actually farmers. When you think about growing your own food, canning it, storing it, and preparing it, they had to be self-sufficient.
Mom's taking care of the kids. There's the cooking, the cleaning, the sewing. It was constant work, which amazes me.
People had to survive and fight the elements. All of those things are true, but not all of them were in isolation, especially up here in Door County.
Life at the lighthouse was a family affair, no truer than in Door County. Often referred to as the Cape Cod of the Midwest, Wisconsin's eastern peninsula is notable for its scenic shoreline, towering bluffs, and 11 historic lighthouses.
Door County has the largest concentration of lighthouses per mile of shoreline than anywhere else in the United States.
Beacons such as Sherwood Point, Bailey's Harbor Upper Range, and Pottawatomie all served as homes to generations of families. Today, in Peninsula State Park, people flock to the popular Eagle Bluff Lighthouse. Built in 1868 to light up busy Strawberry Channel, the lighthouse sits 76 feet high upon the bluff. There, visitors walk in the footsteps of Eagle Bluff's most memorable inhabitants, the Duclan family.
The Duclans, William and Julia, lived here, but they weren't alone. They had seven sons.
The family of nine moved to Eagle Bluff Lighthouse in 1883. Keeper William Duclan, a veteran of the Union Army, oversaw its daily operation. His sons pitched in, helping to maintain the buildings, grow food, and assist in rescues. A tightly run operation, the family was awarded several commendations for the best-looking lighthouse grounds in the Great Lakes area.
The home today, it still looks pretty much how it looked when our Duclan family was living here. It was full of life and full of laughter, full of music.
The music room was the heart of the Duclan home.
When they moved here to Eagle Bluff, William surprised the family with a piano. Julia grew up playing piano, and she wanted a piano for her seven boys. All seven boys learned how to play piano. They also played violin, cello, bass fiddle, accordion, harmonica, and guitar. They were extremely talented.
The Duclan boys took their talents on the road, performing around Door County in dance halls and at weddings. They also played in some rough venues, holding their own in the occasional fight, even brawling once with the sons of a rival lighthouse family over a group of young ladies.
One of the Duclan boys threw the first punch. A big scandal back then.
At Eagle Bluff, the family bond was tied to their love of music, opening their home to entertain anyone who would come.
People were living in little log cabins or little shanties by the water if they were fishermen. So to your neighbors, this place was a mansion. And of course, they were all interested in this home.
At times, 40 people would huddle together for a potluck and a musical melody.
For the Duclans, the piano was an important piece in their lives. It was. It connected them really with the rest of the families living in the area. This was quite the party house back in the day.
The sound of the piano filled the air at Eagle Bluff for decades, bringing friends and neighbors together at the lighthouse.
The Duclan family was here for 35 years. This was a gathering place for these communities.
Though not Door County's oldest or tallest lighthouse, Eagle Bluff was perhaps the liveliest, thanks to the spirited Duclans, their family home still welcoming people today.
We call the lighthouse the heart. But the soul of the lighthouse are the people that tended it, the families that spent decades of their lives making sure that mariners out on the lake were safe. Dedicated, hardworking people.
On the eastern edge of the Door Peninsula, a trek across a limestone causeway leads to the nearly 9-acre island in Lake Michigan. The tiny isle is home to a giant among the Door County beacons and one of Wisconsin's most celebrated, Cana Island Lighthouse.
It's one of the jewels of the Door County lighthouses.
Cana Island is iconic. It has the tall white tower. It's got the attached house next to it. It stands for security. It stands for safety.
Cana is a beautiful lighthouse.
Surrounded by shallow reefs and rugged shoreline, Cana Island Lighthouse has stood as a sentinel over Lake Michigan for more than 150 years. A witness to daring rescues and numerous shipwrecks along the lake's dangerous shoals.
Probably the most memorable shipwreck at Cana Island would be the Bartlemy in 1928. Bartlemy was a steamer loaded with coal that ran aground just a few hundred yards from the Cana Island Lighthouse.
Stuck in shallow water and thick fog, everyone on the ship was brought safely back to shore. The ship itself was damaged beyond repair and would remain there for nearly 2 years as it was cut into scrap. Though salvaged long ago, the Bartlemy still makes her presence known today.
Depending on how the waves are coming in, you can still find some coal on the beach from the wreck of the Bartlemy.
Cana Island Lighthouse was constructed to be a titan among the Door County lighthouses. Its tower reaches 89 feet into the sky, with its walls nearly 4 feet thick at the base. Built from Milwaukee Cream City brick, the lighthouse stood firm on the exposed island, while repeatedly put to the test by fierce and unpredictable storms.
10 years into the life of the lighthouse, they noticed it was weathering much faster than was anticipated. In the early 1900s, they put the metal cladding around it to protect it. And it's still there today, so it worked.
The powerful structure remains a distinctive landmark along the Door Peninsula, making it one of the area's most popular attractions. Its historic and scenic appeal calling visitors to take a journey back through time.
Cana is a special place, and if you walk out there, then you feel it.
People go inside and realize this is a piece of history.
At the base of the tower, a doorway beckons into the past. A climb up the spiral staircase. Step by step, 102 cast iron stairs stretch toward the top of the tower.
Feel that ache in your calves as you climb those steps in the lighthouse, and think about what those lighthouse keepers had to do to keep that lamp lit. Wow.
Marching upward, the open stairwell allows air to flow through the tower. Portholes mark the progress of the ascent. Waiting above, a treasure of Wisconsin's maritime history.
As you get into the actual lantern room area, you can look up and see the Fresnel lens that's still there today.
Still in operation, the Fresnel lens at Cana Island is one of a select few to remain lit in all the Great Lakes.
The fact that it is still a navigation beacon today speaks volumes about it. It's well over 150 years old and still guiding ships.
It's phenomenal.
Finally, step outside onto the gallery deck. A breathtaking panoramic view of Lake Michigan and the Door Peninsula awaits.
You look at that vastness of Lake Michigan from the top of the tower, and imagine it's at night, and it's a dark, moonless night, and the only light you see is this one.
You see the light, you have a sense of, we're gonna be okay. The lighthouse is a beacon to history. It's a monument to bravery to stability, to security. If you close your eyes and you dream about this perfect lighthouse, Kena Island is, to me, that place.
Hi, I'm James Steinbach. I'm a volunteer here at PBS Wisconsin. We're taking just a quick break. Well, actually, this might be a little bit longer break because it's a challenge break. This extraordinary program that you're watching now, made here at the station, made here in Wisconsin, made for you, and this is the premiere, so this is really something to see. And this is a critical time to call us at 1-800-236-3636 and make your pledge of support because it's a challenge break and your pledge will be doubled. Call us now, 1-800-236-3636. And there's a reason to call us now, partly because it's a challenge break, but also because this program, I hope, is really inviting you to explore Wisconsin in ways you may not have thought of. You've probably driven by lighthouses. You've probably maybe even seen a book about lighthouses. Maybe you've visited one or two. But to be able to see so many in this one program is really an extraordinary opportunity. And that's why we're asking you to call 1-800-236-3636.
Well, hello, I'm Kermin Eckes, and I'm on the staff here at PBS Wisconsin. And now is the perfect time, as James mentioned, for you to call and become a member of PBS Wisconsin because your donation will be matched dollar for dollar. It's a great time for you to call and really, really have a wonderful impact and show your support for us here at PBS Wisconsin. And, of course, when you do, we have some thank you gifts that we'd like to send your way. At a $15 level, that's $15 a month, you have your choice of three different items. You can decide to choose a copy, either in DVD or Blu-ray, of Wisconsin Lighthouses, the show that we've been watching. As James mentioned, that's a PBS Wisconsin production. Wonderful people from the station here have worked on this show. It's a really beautiful show that's been put together. And again, that's at $15 a month. Or you can choose a copy of the book that the show is based on, Wisconsin Lighthouses. That's by Ken and Barb Wardius. A beautiful book with wonderful illustrations. It's really much more in-depth information about the lighthouses. A great thing for you to add to your library. Or for your third choice, you can choose this huge tote that we have right here. It's got the Kena Island Lighthouse in the daytime, and then on the other side, the Kena Island Lighthouse at night. So those are all fantastic. If you can't choose between those, go ahead and join us at $25 a month, and we will send you both the DVD, the book, and the tote. So we have many, many ways to say thank you when you join us here at PBS Wisconsin. Now go to those phones and call us at 1-800-236-3636.
Hi, I'm David Hofford, a volunteer here at PBS Wisconsin, and I don't think we've actually said this yet. We said it's a challenge break, but our goal is 50 calls during this break. Now, that's a pretty audacious goal, right? But we have that goal because we know that a program like this means so much to so many people in this state, because it's personal. This is our story brought to your airwaves because of our collective work together. Now, Kermin was just talking about those gift levels, and you noticed she kept saying $20 per month or $25 per month. That's because the best way that you can support programming like this is to become a sustaining member of PBS Wisconsin. Give on that monthly basis so that your support doesn't run out, just like this incredible programming won't ever run out. Give us a call, 1-800-236-3636.
Helping you explore Wisconsin is really at the heart of our mission. It's built into what PBS Wisconsin is about and always has been from the beginning. And if you think about that, not every PBS station is able to do this kind of work. Everyone would like to, but not everyone is able to. And the reason that we're able to is because we have your support. And for generations, people have supported PBS Wisconsin. And that's what makes a difference. That's what makes it possible for us to do this program and all the programs that you enjoy. Some are national that we bring in, but many of them are local programs, whether they're documentaries or histories or news and public affairs, like Here and Now. This is something which every week you can count on programs from PBS Wisconsin that will take you places you may not have been, will reveal things you may not have thought about. That's really worth something, especially during this challenge break. We want 50 calls. We're at 11. We can do better than that. Give us a call, 1-800-236-3636.
Well, thank you, James. And don't forget, when you do call and join us as a member of PBS Wisconsin this evening, we have some thank you gifts that we can send your way. If you join us at that $15 a month level, you have your choice of three different items. You can take a copy, either in DVD or Blu-ray, of the show that we've been watching. So a great way to go back and visit those lighthouses once again. Or you can take a copy of the book by Ken and Barb Ordius, Wisconsin Lighthouses. And this is the book that everything is based on. So much more in-depth writing about the different lighthouses. There's some great historical and current day pictures of the lighthouses. So it's a wonderful addition to your library. Or you can choose this beautiful tote. It's a nice large size tote, a heavy canvas, and it's a great way to show your support. So talk to one of our volunteers about that and they can help you on your way to becoming a member. In the meantime, we're gonna go back and see some more of the interview with Ken and Barb Ordius. They have some great information about the creation of their book, Wisconsin Lighthouses. So here's Ken and Barb.
Hi, I'm Eric Reiling, director of Friends of PBS Wisconsin. We're back in the studio with Ken and Barb. Your book was really important to our research to make this documentary, Wisconsin Lighthouses, and it really is a companion to the documentary. Can you give us a bit of an overview of your book?
It's broken down geographically to different sections of Wisconsin, Lake Superior, Lake Winnebago. We had no idea there were lighthouses on Lake Winnebago when we began our research. And then all the rest of the lighthouses are on some portion of Lake Michigan. One portion is called the Bay of Green Bay, and then the rest of the coastline all the way down to the state line in Lake Michigan.
Are there some highlights of the book you'd like to call out? Any special features?
One of our favorite stories involves the Lueck family at Sand Island Lighthouse. Emmanuel Luke was the keeper there, and he brought his bride, Miss Ella, at 16 years of age, to live on the island with him. Well, lighthouse life was difficult. She lasted about 10 years and left Mr. Luke, went out east, remarried, and became a registered nurse. But don't despair. Mr. Luke found love and did remarry and have two children on Sand Island.
And that's not the only story about a woman being in a lighthouse or a lighthouse keeper, is it?
No, it's not. Barb and I grew up in Milwaukee. There's a lighthouse in Lake Park, Milwaukee North Point Light. When we went there to do research, we learned of a lady by the name of Georgia Stebbins. Once we learned a little bit of her story, fascinating woman, a head lighthouse keeper for over 30 years at Milwaukee North Point. That was very, very rare during that era. Just a fabulous, hardworking mother, wife, and lighthouse keeper.
And we're going to hear more about Georgia Stebbins in this next segment, so let's go back to the program. We'll come back to Barb and Ken later. And if you want to have a copy of Wisconsin Lighthouses as your thank you gift, please give us a call at 1-800-236-3636.
And again, this is a challenge break. Our goal is 50 calls. We're at 31, but I bet we're actually at more than that because the phone lines are busy. If you are currently waiting to get through, please stay on the line. You can also go to pbswisconsin.org, but your call will be answered and it will count towards that challenge break. We just need a little patience because there is a great response, which of course is incredible. Just heard a bunch of information about the stories in this book. I want to point out, it's also just a great, like, road trip guide, right? My wife and I have hosted exchange students for a few years, and we've planned these epic road trips, and we've been saying we should do more in Wisconsin. What a great opportunity to kind of have ideas planted of where we should go and what we should explore right in our own backyard. But whatever your motivation, maybe it's the book, maybe it's supporting a program like this. We are now up to 36 calls, going for 50. Give us a call, 1-800-236-3636.
You know, PBS Wisconsin is all about Wisconsin. That's what we're here for. That's why it's in our name. And, you know, if you think about the programs that carry the name, you know, Wisconsin from the Air, Wisconsin Hometown Stories, Wisconsin Foodie, that's not an accident. It's because we are focused resolutely laser-focused on Wisconsin stories. And in fact, Wisconsin stories. There we go. So that's something which you can really count on and is different from any other station, certainly because they're not in Wisconsin. But even with that, we do an extraordinary amount of local production, a production that is for us, by us, about us. This program is a terrific example of that. And it's made possible because generations of folks have supported PBS Wisconsin. And I kind of think of it, because there was a time when I was not able to support something like this, and now I can. And I think about the people now who are watching and enjoying, and they'd like to do it, but maybe they just can't do it now. And so my contribution is sort of a way of paying it forward for the time that they will do it. So meet us at this challenge break, if you can, at 1-800-236-3636.
You know, I like what James was just saying about paying it forward. I'm a member of PBS Wisconsin, and I like to think that when I do that, I'm helping to bring all of these shows to people all across the state. And to me, that's something that's very important. So if that's something that's important to you, call us right now during this challenge break, and we will put your pledge of support to work immediately. And we'll also send you some wonderful thank you gifts. Let me run through these again briefly. If you join us at that $15 level a month, the $15 a month level, you have your choice of three different items. You can have a copy of the DVD or Blu-ray of the show that we've been watching. Or you can have a copy of the book, which, again, is this fabulous book, Wisconsin Lighthouses, by Ken and Barb Wardius. We've been hearing from them. And the book, I like what David said about it being it could be a road guide for you as you're touring Wisconsin and looking at lighthouses. But no matter how you use it, it's a fabulous book, and it's something you'll want in your library. Or you can choose to take this beautiful canvas tote. It's a nice large size tote. On one side, it has the Kena Island Lighthouse at night. And on the other side is the Kena Island Lighthouse at daytime. So these are all great. Or you can take all three of these if you call and become a member at the $25 a month level. Or so that's something you can consider. Then we also have one special level that I'd like to talk to you about. And this is for $20 a month. And we're calling it kind of the children's level because it includes a fabulous book called Hello Lighthouse with illustrations by Sophie Blackall, and the illustrations are absolutely beautiful. But the story is beautiful too. It tells about a lighthouse keeper that comes. It talks about the day-to-day life in the lighthouse. The lighthouse keeper's family comes. There are good things that happen and bad things that happen. So this is a fabulous book. But we also include this wonderful nightlight. And the nightlight is in the daytime. It's a lighthouse in the daytime. And then when the lights go out, the lights come up on the lighthouse in the nightlight. So I think it's absolutely, any child would love this. I would love to have this nightlight at my house. I just think it's absolutely wonderful. But you would get that book and the nightlight for $20 a month. So we have many ways to say thank you to you when you join us here at PBS Wisconsin. But it starts with you going to the phone and dialing 1-800-236-3636.
So I don't know if you caught that right as the camera cut away from Kermit, but we have reached our goal of 50 calls. We're at 52. That's okay. The challenge break continues, and your donation will still be matched. We're gonna bump up the goal. Let's say 70 calls during this break. It's really incredible to see the level of excitement that we have for such a unique program like this. Now, I have to admit, one of my favorite experiences watching PBS Wisconsin is I come home, I just, you know, sit down on the couch, turn on the TV, I have no idea what to expect, but I turn to PBS Wisconsin and I just get sucked in, right? There's something so compelling, so interesting that I'm just there. That's a pretty cool experience. It's also a cool experience to have known in advance. So, for example, if you had your Airwaves magazine, you wouldn't even have to open it this time. You'd just be on the cover. You would know that this premiere was happening tonight. That's one of the member benefits you get when you donate any amount to PBS Wisconsin. Of course, you might also be interested in those thank you gifts. But we are going for 70 calls. We're at 55. Give us a call, 1-800-236-3636.
So we're going to be back to the next segment of the Lighthouses Show, Wisconsin Lighthouses, in just a minute. But one thing that you may not know is that even after the program is done, there's an opportunity to explore in depth. If you go to the PBS Wisconsin website, you'll be able to see a virtual tour of the Kena Light. which lets you inside the light, and also you can walk up the stairs without actually walking up the stairs, which is kind of cool, especially if you're not going to be able to get there maybe tomorrow. So you can go and check that out. This is the kind of thing that is important to us at PBS Wisconsin. The program is important, but the program is a way for us to give you something of value. And when there are things in addition that we can do like that, like this virtual tour, or the educational programs that we provide for schools and teachers, whether it's homeschool or public schools or private schools or parents at home, these are really important pieces of what PBS Wisconsin does. It's not just TV anymore. It's pretty broad. But at the heart of it, are these extraordinary programs. And right now, during this challenge break, and we're at 63, on our way to 70, keep on calling. If you don't get through right away, stick with it. Call us at 1-800-236-3636.
And when you do call us and become a member here at PBS Wisconsin, we have some fabulous thank you gifts. Let me very quickly run through these for you. If you call and become a member at the $15 a month level, you have your choice of three different items. You can take a copy of either a DVD or Blu-ray of Wisconsin Lighthouses, the wonderful program that we're watching this evening. Or you can take a copy of the book, Wisconsin Lighthouses, by Ken and Barb Bordius. This is where everything came from. This is the inspiration for the program that we've been watching. Or you can also have this wonderful canvas tote, and it's a nice heavyweight canvas tote, but what really makes it stand out are these beautiful illustrations. These are also by Sophie Blackall, the wonderful artist that has done so much for us here at PBS Wisconsin. But on one side is the Kena Island Lighthouse in the daytime, and on the other side is the Kena Island Lighthouse at night. So it's an absolutely beautiful tote. If you would like all three of those items, call and become a member at the $25 a month level, and we will send you the DVD, the book, and the tote. And don't forget, we have that special children's level as well that features a copy of the book Hello Lighthouse, again with those by Sophie Blackall, and that nightlight. So many, many thank you gifts. Our volunteers can go over those again with you. So give them a call at 1-800-236-3636.
And we are about to go back to the program, to the final segment of the program tonight. We just hit our goal of 70 calls, but keep calling. As long as you are waiting to talk to a volunteer when the program resumes, your gift will be doubled. Making a program like this is a risk, right? What if people don't want it? Well, clearly you do. That's really important to know. Give us a call, 1-800-236-3636, and thank you.
The thing that strikes me about Wisconsin lighthouses is the variety. Different sizes, shapes, colors. There's a lot of really unique lighthouses.
Stationed in quaint port towns, on breakwaters marking harbors, like Kewaunee and Sturgeon Bay, and along the shoreline, like the state's tallest lighthouse, Raleigh Point, at 113 feet. These aids to navigation are connected to a legacy of travel along the Great Lakes, starting with the earliest travelers to mark the way, the First Nations people.
If you think about how people look at landmarks when you're on the road, they had landmarks on the lake.
They would climb trees and they would cut maybe half the branches off from the ground up, so those are known as lob trees. And each of those meant something. Either turn left here, turn right there, go east, go west, go north.
These trees are essentially their lighthouses.
Fires were utilized for travel at night, often lit on large tree stumps near the shoreline or placed high on a hilltop. Mirroring these signal fires, the region's early lighthouses were positioned on elevated points. Their design was short in stature, yet built for function, paving the way for a more stylistic approach to lighthouse architecture on the Great Lakes.
They finally evolved to the tall brick and metal structures we know today with Fresnel lenses in them.
Some of them are magnificent works of the architect's art. They're beautiful.
A giant sentinel stretches 108 feet into the sky, its stark white tapered tower prominent against the shoreline. Wind Point Lighthouse, located near Racine in southeastern Wisconsin.
Wind Point really is a gorgeous work of art.
It's strong, it's majestic, it's very graceful. It's just simply beautiful.
Pretty much the definition of picturesque, Wind Point Lighthouse.
Built in 1880, Wind Point's architectural design is known as the Poe-style lighthouse, a style attributed to Orlando Metcalf Poe, a veteran of the Civil War who served under General William Sherman. After the war, Poe was the chief engineer of the Upper Great Lakes Lighthouse District and oversaw the construction of numerous beacons along the Great Lakes.
What Poe really brought was a much more substantial, brighter, taller structure than what had been here before.
The soaring tower at Wind Point is indicative of Poe-style lighthouses, which are recognizable by their distinct cylinder shapes.
The base is about twice as big as the top, and it has just the right taper to really make a 100-foot tower look right.
At Wind Point, you can stand at the base and look up, and it just seems to go on forever.
Near the top of the tower, an ornate detail accents the base of the balcony. Corbels, or brackets, designed in the Florentine-inspired Italianate style.
They could have just been straight pieces of triangle, but they're actually slightly shaped. It's unexpectedly simple, but yet it's beautiful, and it has an elegance to it.
A callback to the Renaissance, a rebirth. Wind Point Lighthouse marked a time of progress and hope in America, post-Civil War.
The time that Wind Point was built in the 1880s and put into service was a boom time for Wisconsin.
On the Great Lakes, there were more vessels per square mile than any place else in the world.
Lake Michigan was filled with steamships and enormous straight-deck freighters. They were overflowing with a new export, grain.
Prairie gold, as they called it. That was where the money was. Almost all grain that was being consumed on the East Coast was coming out of Wisconsin. Lighthouses were just essential to protect those investments.
Wind Point was chosen for its strategic location between Milwaukee and Chicago. The rapidly developing region was attracting more than just commerce. It was welcoming scores of new residents.
Lake Michigan was an early target for immigrants from Europe.
You had ships full of immigrants coming from Buffalo, New York. They arrived on paddle wheel ships and steamers, you know, the immigrant story of the late 19th century. They would come to Wisconsin.
Seeking freedom and opportunity, the journey to Wisconsin was challenging. After a harrowing trip across the Atlantic, many immigrants still had to brave the crowded and dangerous Great Lakes.
With that volume of vessel density, you're going to have accidents.
Some ships didn't make it.
Ships like the Phoenix, considered one of the worst disasters on the Great Lakes. About 200 Dutch immigrants lost their lives when the Phoenix sank off Sheboygan in 1847. But for the many immigrants who did find safe passage, a lighthouse meant reassurance in a new land.
The lighthouse was that feeling of safety.
When you saw the lighthouse at Manitowoc or Sheboygan, you had reached your destination. And there had to be a sigh of relief.
The idea that the ship captain knew where he was going. In a storm, you knew there was land here. And as an immigrant coming in on one of those boats, being afraid and having the crews then tell you, don't worry, the shore's over there, see the light.
Waiting on the shoreline outside Racine, Wind Point Light. Classic, old world design in a new world.
Your first glimpse is this majestic tower leading you to your new home. I think it would stab your heart just because you'd think, I'm finally here, I've made it.
In nearby Milwaukee, on a wooded bluff 107 feet above Lake Michigan, sits the city's famed Lake Park. 138 acres of winding paths, deep ravines, and panoramic views of the water. The park's centerpiece, a beacon like no other, North Point Lighthouse.
North Point Lighthouse is actually a compilation of parts of three different lighthouses.
Originally constructed in 1855, severe erosion to the bluff it stood on jeopardized the brick structure. In 1888, a new cast iron tower was built 100 feet inland, with the lantern of the original lighthouse placed on top. But by the turn of the 20th century, North Point needed yet another upgrade.
What do you do when you design a park? You plant trees. Well, by 1911, the tree line's too high, you can't see the lighthouse anymore.
The solution was a third tower built in the same location with the previous tower and lantern fitted on top of it.
If you look at the current lighthouse at North Point today, there's actually a seam in the middle that differentiates the new base, which has circular windows, from the top half, which has rectangular windows from the tower built in 1888.
The unconventional history of North Point Lighthouse made it a fitting home for its most famous resident, a keeper who had challenged the social norms of her era, a keeper named Georgia Stubbins.
In 1873, Georgia was living in New York. She gave birth to two daughters, but she lost them in childbirth and illness. Then she was informed that she had tuberculosis. The doctor said, the only chance you have is to get out of New York and get some fresh air.
Georgia Stebbins' father was the lighthouse keeper at North Point in Milwaukee. The fresh breeze off Lake Michigan was just what the doctor ordered.
She decided that she would go out there to recuperate and hopefully get better. Her husband, Lamel, who was a watchmaker, she left him back in New York. She didn't realize how long she was going to be out there.
Just for someone, you know, to leave your home state where you were born and where you know everything and to come alone to the wild, wild west that was Wisconsin even then, I can't imagine.
In Milwaukee, Georgia Stebbins' aging father was declining in health. The family feared he was unable to continue his duty to the lighthouse, risking his job and their livelihood. Georgia stepped up and took over as the unofficial keeper at North Point Light.
She freely was willing to learn all the trade of the lighthouse keeping duties, and she just stepped in and she just did it.
She was active. She had to climb stairs. She was outside. She was busy. In those days, you're talking long Victorian dresses, petticoats, button-up shoes.
I'm picturing her holding up the skirt and then having some fuel in her other hand to go up the stairs and tend her light. Don't forget, Georgia had tuberculosis. Just her will must have propelled her up those stairs.
Georgia Stebbins' health improved. Reinvigorated, she embarked on a new life for herself at North Point Lighthouse. She had found her purpose.
She took the job seriously, did the job exemplary, and was just a dedicated person, steadfast, like the lighthouse itself.
There was times when she would see a ship that ran aground below the bluffs. She would go down there, get out in a rowboat and row out and rescue the crew.
The lighthouse and tending to it seemed to be her life. She was always here, always on duty.
Committed to North Point Lighthouse, Georgia Stebbins built her life around it, rarely leaving its grounds. Even with her responsibilities growing as she welcomed a son, Albert.
Her son was born at the lighthouse. She gave birth at home because she had to keep up her duties. There was no such thing as maternity leave in those days. You just gave birth and got right back to work.
With her beloved bull mastiff Tappan by her side, Georgia raised her son alone at the lighthouse.
She was just a really, really strong woman. Georgia Stebbins was definitely a portrait of dedication.
In 1881, her dedication paid off. After 7 years of serving in an unofficial capacity, the U.S. Lighthouse Service named her the official head keeper of North Point Lighthouse.
For a woman in that era, it was not common at all to have the official head keeper title. Officially, she was head keeper for more than 20 years, but with helping her father, she was here for almost three decades.
It was amazing. She retired before women had the right to vote.
Georgia Stebbins retired in 1907 as the longest-serving lighthouse keeper in North Point's history.
She was a woman definitely before her time, working in a man's world, running the entire show for all these years as a lighthouse keeper.
It's important for people to know the stories of the people that ran these lighthouses for many times decades. They had pride in their job, they had pride in their families, they had pride being a lighthouse keeper.
Though beginning in the 1920s, the winds of change started to descend upon the role of the lighthouse keeper.
In their wildest dreams, they had no idea what the future might bring with technology.
The innovation of electric-powered beacons, followed by radar and radio communication, would transform the state's maritime landscape forever.
Over the years, the advances of technology allowed the Lighthouse Service to automate the lights and did away with the need for having keepers.
These advances in technology really put lighthouse keepers and the lighthouses out of business. The 1940s and 50s would have been the time when most lighthouses were starting to be phased out.
Often abandoned, lighthouses quickly fell into disrepair.
There are many lighthouses that do not have a happy ending. Some lighthouses were intentionally demolished, never to return again. The Racine Reef Lighthouse was a unique light on the Great Lakes, one of a kind. Victorian style, gorgeous, gone.
Today, very few lighthouses remain in operation. They're sweeping beams replaced by flashing LED lights, new cost-effective steel frame towers, and GPS navigation. Often reduced to lonely landmarks, lighthouses remain in various stages of ruin in a test against time.
Preserving a 150-year-old lighthouse has its challenges.
Lighthouse preservation today is a difficult job. It takes tremendous resources, people, time, money to refurbish a light that has not been in good repair for many times decades.
In 2006, the sound of pounding hammers and buzzing saws reverberated throughout a tranquil island in Lake Superior. Wind, weather, and time had all taken their toll on Raspberry Island Lighthouse in the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore.
Anybody who owns a house knows just how much maintenance goes into keeping a house livable. We got to refinish the floors, fix all the plaster walls, fix the windows, fix the doors, put a new roof on, refurnish the kitchen.
From painters to plasterers, over 50 different types of tradespeople plied their talents to this complex and exacting project. A rehab 100 years in the making.
Raspberry's been gradually falling down. The last time it had a major renovation, a lot of work done, was 1906.
A federal grant awarded to the National Park Service assured that Raspberry Island Lighthouse would not go extinct.
These places don't just survive on their own. They require, in this case, legislation. They require committed people. They require a fair amount of public money and private money and the dedication of hundreds of people.
After 2 years of hard work and dedication,
welcome to Raspberry Island. They're waiting for you.
Raspberry Island Lighthouse was ready for its grand reopening.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, cut.
Raspberry, in a lot of ways, is the showcase of the Apostle Islands. It's not the biggest lighthouse. It's not the most dramatic setting. But it has a human side of it, I think, that really resonates with people.
Today, boatloads of visitors still ferry across Lake Superior to explore Raspberry Island.
Welcome to Raspberry.
The quaint charm of the lighthouse drawing them in.
The white building, the red roof, the blue sky, the blue water. It's just a beautiful location.
It's one of the best restored lighthouses in the state. It's gorgeous.
You walk in the lighthouse, it's like you've been transferred back in time to the 1920s.
The lighthouse is preserved and curated to reflect the year 1924, chosen to honor Raspberry's keeper, Lee Benton, who kept vivid notes detailing his family's life at the lighthouse in the 1920s, a roadmap outlining Raspberry's rich history.
We reestablished the dining room chairs, dining room table, pictures for the walls, the sewing machine that Lee Ben used to use.
This is the keeper of this light. His name is...
The fun part about taking people on tours is a lot of, you know, the older folks, it kind of reminds them of what they saw when they went to visit their grandmother growing up. It just reminds them of their youth.
Even outside, the lighthouse grounds are authentic to the past.
We have a vegetable garden. We also have flower gardens. They're in the exact same location and are the exact same species that were here back in the 20s.
When Lee Benton and his family were there, they would have taken great pride in keeping the grounds and the home neat and tidy.
They were working every single day at some sort of maintenance, painting, cleaning.
Their hard work would not be in vain. The pride of place the Bentons imbued in Raspberry is a legacy that continues today.
Raspberry Island is a tribute to the keepers that came before. They were stewards of the light, the tower, the home. So I think they would be pleased to know that it's been well taken care of, it's been restored, and company is welcome because there's something to see.
Given a new purpose, a second life, lighthouses themselves have now become keepers of history.
It's important to preserve that maritime legacy and heritage. It gives you a connection to the history, the people, really takes you back in time. Lighthouses have a connection to an era that is long gone, but it's important to keep that history alive.
Whether it's individuals or the Park Service, there are custodians of these lights who continue to maintain them for the historic resources they are.
Being able to see the span of a century and a half of the history of Wisconsin all encompassed in the buildings.
Those people are gone, but the stories still remain.
Stories of courage, duty, and family. Lighthouses continue to inspire and capture the imagination.
I think what draws people to lighthouses is their uniqueness and what they stood for. They're monumental in a way.
A lighthouse is a guiding post. A lighthouse is a beacon to show people the true path. It's become ingrained in our culture.
Probably for 100 years, that maritime culture was a huge part of our state and it molded our character as a people.
It's really at the heart of who we are here in Wisconsin.
Pillars of strength, guardians of history, the power and appeal of the Wisconsin Lighthouse endures. The spirit of the state embodied in these iconic structures.
They stand today still as symbols of dedication, hard work. They are a beacon of hope, a beacon of security. That's the essence of what a lighthouse is.
Hi, I'm James Steinbach. I'm a volunteer here at PBS Wisconsin. And this extraordinary program, which I know you're enjoying because here you are at the end of it, and you're still listening to us ask you for money, which is a good thing to do because it isn't just about the money. We need that, absolutely need that. That's why we ask. But it's also about the support. The most important thing you can do as a person in Wisconsin is to watch PBS Wisconsin and to share that with other folks, to tell them about the show you watched, to sit down with other folks and watch it. That's really what we're about. It's community. It's about Wisconsin. We are here because of you. We are here because you and I support PBS Wisconsin, and we support it with our dollars. We support it with our thoughts. We support it with our eyeballs. It's all an important part of PBS Wisconsin. So keep on doing those things. Keep on sending the money. Keep on sending yourselves. Keep on sharing with your kids, and call us at 1-800-236-3636.
Well, thank you, James. I'm Kermin Eckes on the staff here at PBS Wisconsin. And if you've already called us this evening, thank you so much. If it's something you've been thinking about doing, now's the perfect time to go to those phones and talk to one of our volunteers. And of course, don't forget, when you do join us here at PBS Wisconsin this evening, we have some fabulous thank you gifts, and I'll run through these briefly for you right now. If you call and become a member at the $15 a month level, you have your choice of one of three items. You can take a copy of, on either DVD or Blu-ray, Wisconsin Lighthouses, the fabulous show that we've just finished watching. So you can go through that again. Or you can get a copy of Wisconsin Lighthouses, the book by Ken and Barb Wardius. So a great way to go back and get some more in-depth information about those lighthouses. And finally, for your third choice, we have this absolutely fabulous tote. And I love this tote. It's a nice heavyweight canvas tote. But what really makes it stand out is the artwork that's on the tote itself. The artwork is done by artist Sophie Blackall, and she has done a beautiful illustration of Kena Island Lighthouse in the daytime on one side, and then on the other side is the Kena Island Lighthouse at night. So absolutely beautiful tote, a great way. Boy, if you're into lighthouses, this is something that you're going to want to add to your collection. Or you can get all three of these with a commitment at $25 a month here for PBS Wisconsin. So it all starts with you going to your phone and dialing 1-800-236-3636.
And I'm David Hofford. I'm a volunteer here at PBS Wisconsin. And I get to say, but wait, there's more, because there's another gift level that Kermin didn't have time to talk about there, right in between the two at $20 a month, where you get more of that Sophie Blackall art. So this is a children's book, Hello Lighthouse, with a lot of her illustrations, and also a nightlight. This is the same artwork that was on the tote bag that Kermin was just showing you. This one's pretty cool, though, because it's the daytime artwork now. If it got dark, it would be the nighttime artwork on that same bag. And this is art that Sophie Blackall made for PBS Wisconsin, for this, that tote bag and the nightlight. You cannot get that anywhere else. So this is a great time to show your support. Give us a call, 1-800-236-3636.
So in this last segment we were watching, we heard the story of Georgia Stebbins. And this is a woman, you saw the show, you know that, who dedicated her life to keeping the light. And she stayed there, what did it say? She stayed there never spending a night away from the lighthouse. Never spending a night away from the lighthouse. That, the dedication of that is really worth knowing. And telling these stories about Wisconsin folks who you may never have heard of, who have done these extraordinary things, is one of the things that I really value about PBS Wisconsin. It's great to have the celebrities and all the things that we do when we do music, but the greatest thing is when we see our neighbors and our friends and the histories from the past that really reveal to us something about where we've come from and perhaps where we're going as well, because it all connects. And I think that that's something that PBS Wisconsin really celebrates and encourages you and engages you and invites you to share. So give us a call, 1-800-236-3636.
Thanks, James. And when you call us this evening here at PBS Wisconsin and become a member, we have those thank you gifts. Let me run through these briefly one more time for you. If you call and become a member at the $15 a month level, you have your choice of one of three items. You can take a DVD or Blu-ray copy of the program that we've just watched, so that fabulous show on Wisconsin Lighthouses. Or you can take a copy of the book that everything is based on, Wisconsin Lighthouses by Ken and Barb Wardius. So that's a great in-depth look at other lighthouses. More information, fabulous photographs are also included. And your third choice at that $15 a month level is this tote bag with art by Sophie Blackall, a beautiful tote, nice heavyweight, but on one side it has the Kena Island Lighthouse that Sophie did specifically for us here at PBS Wisconsin. We have it at night or during the day. So talk to one of our volunteers. They can run through those levels and that information for you once again. In the meantime, we're going to go back one more time to talk to Ken and Barb Wardius, again, the authors of the book that and the book of Wisconsin Lighthouses and the inspiration for the show. So enjoy hearing from Ken and Barb.
Hi, I'm Eric Reiling, director of Friends of PBS Wisconsin. We're back with Barb and Ken. Now, you two are probably the experts on Wisconsin lighthouses. For folks who are just inspired by the program they just watched, what kind of tips do you have for visiting lighthouses around Wisconsin?
Lighthouse festivals are a great time to go. The Apostle Islands has one in the fall around Labor Day, and Door County has one in the spring and in the fall. And there are lighthouses that are often open that are not open to the public during the rest of the year. It's a good chance to go.
And a lot of those lighthouses are not open to the public, but some are. What kind of guidance do you have?
Of the 48 lights in the state, Eric, less than a third of them are open to the public, and only a portion of those are in any kind of form of, you know, good restoration, where you'd want to go in and really look what life was like back in the 1800s, for example. There's a number of lighthouses that have Friends organizations involved with them. Those are very helpful to check their resources out as well.
Speaking of resources, in addition to your book, what kinds of additional resources would you recommend?
Oh my goodness, we were so blessed by so many people and so many organizations helping with research, public libraries, historical societies. There's a number of lighthouse researchers throughout the United States. A couple names come to mind, terrypepper.com and lighthousefriends.org. Are a wealth of information of lighthouses throughout the Great Lakes as well as the entire country.
And we should say you also have a lecture on our University Place series, which folks can find online.
Yes, we do.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for
coming into the studio.
Thank you for watching. I hope you've enjoyed Wisconsin Lighthouses. If you want to make a gift to support this program, take advantage of some of our thank you gifts, like this book, Wisconsin Lighthouses, you can make that call right now at 1-800-236-3636.
And now I'm going to say, but wait, there's more again. You know, the program is over, and maybe you'll be getting a Blu-ray or DVD of it with your thank you gift. But we actually are going to have coming up here a behind the scenes of how this program was made. I mentioned this at an earlier break. It took years to make this, between the research and the filming and the interviewing. I mean, this is a major undertaking. And you're going to get to see kind of behind the scenes how that all works. So stick around for that. you know, it's important to remember that a program like this is a big risk for PBS Wisconsin. Again, it took years to make this. We need to know that it matters to you. We need to know that this is the thing you want us to keep doing, and we're going to know that when you give us a call, 1-800-236-3636.
You know, to make a show like this takes a lot of people. I mean, clearly the people who you see in the show, the people who make the show, and Kerman has been very modest about this because Kerman, who you've been hearing from, was a key part of the crew that made this show. I'm just going to say that because she won't. She did all the sound work on it. Thank you, Kerman. But it also takes people who give the financial support, which is why we have these pledge breaks. There are some folks who are in a position in their lives where they can make a really generous donation. And perhaps that's true for you now. And if you are in a position where you could give $1,000 a year as part of our leadership circle, this is a great time to do it. There's never been a better time to express your support for PBS Wisconsin. Now, whatever you give, whether it's $20 or $1,000, that's what is correct for you to do, and that's what the best thing to do is. But if you're in a position where you're able to give at that higher level, please think about it. It's something really, I believe, worth supporting, and I hope you do too. So call us at 1-800-236-3636.
Well, no matter what level you can join us this evening, whether it's, as James said, that $1,000 level or any other level that you can manage to do, it is a wonderful thing for us here at PBS Wisconsin and so very important. And when you do that, we have some thank you gifts that we'll send your way. Let me run through these again for you briefly. If you call and become a member at the $15 a month level, you have your choice of three items, the DVD or Blu-ray of the show that we've just watched, Wisconsin Lighthouses, or you can take a copy of the Wisconsin Lighthouses book by Ken and Barb Wardius, or you can have the fabulous tote bag with that art by Sophie Blackall that has the Cana Island Lighthouse in the daytime on one side and a beautiful Cana Island Lighthouse at night. If you would like all three of these, call and join us at the $25 level a month, point, and we will send you all three of these items. So though that's a fabulous way to say thank you. We also have one more special group that I'd like to tell you about, and this is at $20 a month. We will send you a copy of Hello Lighthouse. This is a Caldecott winning book by Sophie Blackall. The art in this book is absolutely fabulous. It is absolutely gorgeous to look at, but also it tells a wonderful story of people trying to tend the lighthouse and keep the lighthouse going. Plus, we'll send you this wonderful nighttime nightlight that has the lighthouse in the daytime, and then it lights up and you see the lighthouse at night. And again, the art is also by Sophie Blackall. So that's at $20 a month. So we have many wonderful gifts that we can send your way. You can talk to one of our volunteers and get some more information about them. And it all starts by dialing 1-800-236-3636.
And you know, I know that last package that Kermit was just talking about with the children's book and the nightlight. I mean, it sounds like it's geared for kids, right? But like, let's be honest. I have a nightlight in my bathroom, right? So that when I wake up in the middle of the night, I can see something. And like, yeah, I can go on Amazon and I can buy like one of those just blank circular lights. But this is a piece of art. This is a way to have art in my bathroom as well as the function of a nightlight. So I think all of those gift levels are really appropriate for anybody at any phase of life. And of course, that's the point, is that we're talking about things that are meaningful across generations. A program like this brings us together as a state and a community. James is talking about people who can afford to give a larger gift. If that's out of reach for you right now, maybe you can put us in your estate plan and become a part of the Heritage Society. There's all sorts of ways to be a part of the PBS Wisconsin community. What matters is that you call and start that process. 1-800-236-3636.
We've talked about all the work that goes into making a program like this. I mean, it takes years of research, production, editing, writing, re-editing sometimes. It really is a labor of love. And you know in your own life that things that are good take time. Things that are good are not easy. And that's something which we know here and we appreciate. We appreciate it in craftspeople. We appreciate it in our own crew. It's something that really makes a difference, we think. And so I want to take just a few minutes now to show you a behind-the-scenes look at some of the work that went into making this a really extraordinary show that brings a show like Wisconsin Lighthouses to life, made it come to life because of you. So thank you for that. Take a look.
It allows me to move the camera around without getting any big shaky movements.
Yeah, keep about this speed right here.
Okay, driving over the causeway here.
It's another day at the office.
Hired. Woo!
we just bushwhacked.
We have had to don mosquito clothing.
Now, I gotta say, I've never had anything this ridiculous on my body before, but man, this is a lifesaver.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that behind-the-scenes look, giving you just a little taste of some of the work that the fabulous field crew that went out and brought back these images and these sounds of these lighthouses. Just to give a shout-out, you saw the two primary videographers, James Donovan and Mike Barron, and also Emily Julka, who did some additional photography on the show. You saw Jeff Pfeiffer. He is the producer of the show. And, of course, there were many other people that were so involved in the post-production work, Grant Fenster and so many others that were involved. So, but this fabulous show is here because of you and other people from around the state who say PBS Wisconsin is something that I value. I love seeing shows that are so Wisconsin specific, and that's because of your support. So if it's something you've been thinking about doing, now's the perfect time for you to call us right now and join us here during our last minute or two here before we go on to our next show and talk to one of our volunteers. Don't forget, we have some fabulous thank you gifts for you. We have, if you join us at that $15 level a month, you can take your choice of the DVD or Blu-ray of the show that we've just watched. You can take the book, Wisconsin Lighthouses, or the absolutely beautiful tote with the artwork by Sophie Blackall. Or you can take all three if you join us at the $25 a month level. You can have both the book, the DVD, and, of course, the beautiful canvas tote. Don't forget, we also have that children's level, if that's something that you're interested in. And that's at $20 a month. We'll send you the copy of the fabulous book, Hello Lighthouses, or the wonderful nightlight that you can enjoy. So we hope that you've enjoyed this show. We're so pleased. Thank you for everybody that has joined us this evening. But please give us a call at 1-800-236-3636.
Funding for Wisconsin Lighthouses is provided by the David L. and Rita E. Nelson Family Fund, Dr. Henry Anderson and Shirley Levine, the Ruth St. John and John Dunham West Foundation, Jan Botts and Tom Lippert, the Dwight and Linda Davis Foundation, ACV and Mary Elston Family, Slater Family Fund, Barb and Mike Madden, Obradovich Family Foundation, the Great Lakes Foundation, Ruder Ware, the Fund for Lake Michigan, Trust Point, Wisconsin Coastal Management Program and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, donors to the Focus Fund for Wisconsin Programs, and friends of PBS Wisconsin.
Thank you for watching Wisconsin Lighthouses. Did you love the show? You can find more amazing local content from PBS Wisconsin on all of your favorite devices. Download the free PBS app now.